Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brain. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brain.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Hello, Brains, and welcome back to The Edge. Well, look at that. I can't believe it. The phone lines are blowing up. Now, you know, that's the biggity wiggity when you are doing a podcast and you got folks that will dial in and listen live. What? Well, we are going to have our directorial debut with Robbie Lufty. He's coming over to The Edge. He works for the Signet Theater here in San Diego, and San Diego, California has a thriving theatrical production and philanthropic efforts is really beautiful. He does a lot of off-Broadway. Their community people, leaders, pointing to the community as well as community actors. So we want to talk to him a little bit about that. We want to talk to him about what did he do before he started acting. And I want to welcome him to The Edge. How you doing, Robbie?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you know, I wanted to say this publicly. I don't want to embarrass you, but I'm going to do it anyway. You gave my daughter her big break, you did, in costuming and being on the panel, and I want to thank you publicly for that because I'm telling you it's taking her to new heights, and thank you for taking a chance with her. I really appreciate that.
Oh, good. Well, she became highly recommended, and she was incredible to work with. She's an amazing costume designer.
Well, thank you so much. So now let's get all into you and your business.
Yeah.
How are you showing up in the world? Tell us who you are.
My name is Robbie Lutfi, and I've been in San Diego for almost 4 years now, working at Signet full-time. Signet Theater is in Old Town, San Diego. It's like a 250-seat theater. We produce shows year-round, as well as, you know, educational shows that tour schools and stuff. And but I came here, I was working in San Francisco before I was here at a theater, and at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. before that. And all my background is primarily in producing new work and assistant directing. And I was freelancing as a director during that time. I was living in different cities like New York and D.C., but it wasn't until Signet that someone offered me a full-time job where I could just be in the creative department. I didn't really have to produce or casting direct on top of direct and program manage. So it was nice to go to a place where I could really live in a creative headspace full-time. Mm. So I'm very grateful to Signet in San Diego.
You're in America's finest city.
Yeah,
so you were talking a little bit about, I want to ask you a little bit about all of that, actually, producing and freelancing. I'll get back to that in just a second. But do you offer classes for people that want to act more in the food?
I have in the past, you know, recently I offered a free, like, audition workshop through Signet, and I had almost 40 people show up. So it clearly is an interest in the community. So it kind of made me rethink, maybe I should be offering some more classes. You know, I've taught at Grossmont a few times now, college.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of made me realize, like, maybe I should be offering some sort of acting classes or coaching or something to people of all ages.
Yeah, because that creative genius and everything that you can bring out of people. Now, directing. Explain to my brains the intricate parts of, like, a play. Okay, so you have the director, and then you have the orchestra, and then the lighting people. Is it a large production? Do you have to have a lot of people to put on a production?
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends on the type of production you're producing. You're going to have less collaborators. If you're doing a musical, yeah, you're going to have a music director, and you're going to have an orchestra, and you're going to have a...
And there's a lot of theater companies here, so I really like the diversity and, you know, the people that give some money because they believe in that. We've got some beautiful art museums. So when you talk about freelancing and producing, if someone was interested in going in that direction as a career, where would you head them at? Would you maybe have them start as acting on the other side or more the administrative side for producing? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And, yeah, I agree. I mean, I think San Diego is a gem of the arts. I think that there's no set path. I think there was a time in the golden age of Broadway where, in the 50s and 60s, where there was a clear sort of ladder to how to be a director. You were an assistant director, and then you were an associate director, and then that director would throw jobs your way. Now it doesn't really happen that way. I think everyone's path is a little different. I think for myself, I went to North Carolina School of the Arts, and that school taught me a lot. They gave me the craft of directing.
Right.
And then from there, because of some connection to that school. So that was super helpful for me, was to go to a place where I had a mentor who could pick up the phone and get me internships or get me an assisting job. I wrote a lot of grants. And
you hit the ground running, exactly.
Yeah,
because if you're working for nonprofits and the arts, they really, really rely on those. The grants, but everybody is, you know, jockeying for a position. They're all kind of, you know, crabs in a barrel trying to get that same money. Let me ask you a question, though. I want you to go a little bit deeper for me. I want you to explain to me, what does a director do? Now, me, on the other side of the screen, do you actually look at the script and you create your vision? I don't know what a director actually does. You know, you'll see film directors and they'll say, oh, they really made that come to life. What do you see? What is through the lens of your camera as a director? Did that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, and I'll read a lot of scripts, you know. I'll read maybe two or three new scripts in a week, and then it's got to hit, it's got to touch on something inside of me. It's got to not just intellectually, it's got to pull my heartstrings a little bit. It's got to be a play that I not only think that I can, that I think can move an audience, but I think can challenge an audience, that an audience can sit with and unpack the ideas of. And, you know, at Signet, we have like these three parts of our mission, and it's ignite debate, startle the soul, and celebrate the diversity of our community. So it kind of has to hit those things just because that's how what we stand for. And then on top of that, I have to then spend a year with this play in pre-production and then 4 weeks of rehearsal. And so if the play doesn't have enough layers, if the play doesn't like, if I'm not wrestling with the questions of the play, or I'm not if the form of the play, And by that I mean, like, is it innately theatrical? What makes this play not a film or television script? What makes this play something that you have to experience live? What makes this play something that needs me as a director? And if I love a play, and I think it's maybe, you know, you also have to think, like, we do have to sell 250 seats, so sometimes there's calculated risk that we can make, and sometimes you just go, I know this play is not going to make any money, but we're doing it for different reasons. But
for the priceless reason, you can't put a dollar amount on it.
Right. But sometimes, and you read the play, and then there are ways to process a play. So you're looking at, like, what is, like, the real thrust, or the what I call the spine of the play? Like, what is the playwright really ultimately asking at the play's core? And then if you resonate with that big question, then a director finds a design team. And the first responder to a play after the director is always the set designer. So You have an initial conversation with the person who's shaping and sculpting the world with you that you're presenting the play.
Well, it's beautiful.
And then from there,
the theater is beautiful. And then after you do all of that, okay, what do you do for fun? I heard you like basketball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, definitely. I definitely. And you know what's interesting is that
I
the more.
I am from Los Angeles. And, you know, the Lakers, uh-huh. I've been there a lot of times. But basketball doesn't do it for me to sit there at a game. I don't know why. And baseball. I love them. You know what I like? I like hockey and I like football.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. But basketball.
You like the contact sports.
I think so. I think so. You hit it right on the head.
Yeah, I do. I mean, you got to kind of have a life outside of your art, because your art is all consuming. And, you know, there's that old phrase where they say, what do bankers do when they go have beers? They talk about art. And what do artists do when they go have beers? They talk about money. I think that the artist doesn't, like, you know, I don't leave my job and then shut it off and think about other things. When I wake up in the morning, I'm thinking about what I'm working on. When I go to bed at night, I'm thinking about what I'm working on. Every book I'm reading is somehow reminding me of what I'm working on. The thing I'm listening to on the radio is making me think of something. You know, the song I'm listening to, I'm going, oh, wow, I'm making these strange kind of associative connections with. And so when I worked freelance, I would travel all over, and I might be in, like, Charleston, South Carolina at a bar. I cannot talk to someone about the arts, really, and expect, like, you know, a two-way conversation all the time.
And
I certainly can't talk about politics, because they probably But I can always talk about sports. I mean, that's like the universal language in America. Almost.
Right.
And so for me, I grew up in North Carolina. Like, you're a basketball fan. You're a Duke fan, or you're a Carolina Tar Heel fan. And so, I always have loved basketball, and I still to this day. And it's such
Do you
it's
play
so
a little
clear.
Bit?
Like, I used to play, yeah, in middle and high school. Not so much anymore, but it's me, like, watching. Sport is so, there's a clear villain, there's a clear hero, there's a winner, there's a loser, you know, it's cut and dry, where it's like so much of life is ambiguous.
Exactly. You're coloring in the white space. I get you. Dribbling down life's highway. So what's on the horizon for you? Where do you see yourself going and doing? Are you thinking about writing your own script? Give us a snapshot as to what you're thinking about in your head. In your brain.
Yeah.
You know, that's what my listeners are.
Yeah.
Did I introduce you properly? Okay. They are brains.
That's a tough question. It always is tough. You know, 5 years ago, it was a lot easier for me to look 5 years down the line and go, I want to be in a, I actually, 5 years ago, I was like, I want to be an associate artistic director for a theater that, merrily. And so, you know, it is an interesting conundrum, and to speak candidly, sometimes you fight so hard your whole life for stability. And as a theater maker, you look at the statistics and you go, only 5% of theater makers can make a living wage. And that's it, period, in America.
Right.
And then you go, well, I feel extremely lucky to be able to make any sort of money doing this, not only pay my bills doing it. That sometimes I feel like on the flip side of that, you kind of – are my choices safe now because of this? Am I taking less risks because of it? Are the rooms I'm leading and walking into a little less scary? And those are questions I have to, like, really ask myself and push myself, because you don't have – as a freelancer, if your show flops at a theater, you're not getting asked back. So that paycheck,
you're not going to get
again.
I get you.
But at once you get a full, like, I have a full-time job at Signet, and, like, you know, I hope, you know, my boss may not like this, but, like, if I had a show flop, I'm not going to get fired. So, so I have to, like, take care of myself. Like, at the end of the day, I do have to make sure that, like, I'm still setting the bar of excellence higher and higher and higher every single time I set out to direct a show and tolerate less and less for myself.
Right.
But go back
and you're,
to your question,
pouring so much
no
organically into people, you know,
yes.
And really you're developing them, you know, their acting skills, and you're providing resources for them. So I commend you. Robbie, you have been such an excellent guest here on The Edge. Is there a way that my brains can get in contact with you, maybe come and see a show at the Signet? I'd love to come again. It's beautiful. It's right there in Old Town. You can stop off and get a margarita and an enchilada, and they go right down to the Signet Theater. Tell my brain.
Email Rob, R-O-B, at signettheater.com, and that's CYGNETTHEATRE.com. So theater with the R-E, not theater with the E-R at the end, .com.
All right.
Well, thank
All
you
right.
for having
Definitely.
Me.
Absolutely. So brains, you know, you need to step up your game with your culture. You need to go out and you need to explore some theater. You need to open up your mind, and you need to relax with a game of basketball. So I love you from the bottom of my sock. I can't thank you enough. Follow me Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and I just hooked up on Spotify. Get a sister's numbers up, okay? Have a good day. Thanks again, Robbie.
Thank you.